The sermon scripture today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, or 1 through 10. The word of the Lord. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him. He said, "I tell you, I have not found such faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, be with us as we go through the scripture today. Open our hearts and minds so that the scripture may speak to us, to tell us what your will is, Lord, to speak to us some message of that we need to hear. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you do. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess before I kind of jump right into the scripture and kind of go into what it speaks to me, I wanted to say how amazing of an experience has been here for me. Everybody here really invited me in and made me feel like home. I think, but like all homes, there comes a time where we have to move out and move on. And like the graduates and the families today, of the families of the graduates today here know that at some point we must all leave home. It was tough when I found out it was that time for myself, but I have faith in God that it is truly where, that this is where truly where I was supposed to be, and where I go is where I'm supposed to go. That's one reason that this scripture today was not only a great scripture for it being graduation Sunday, but for me personally, a scripture about truly strong faith, a faith that is essential to our lives at all times, but is most important in those times of change. The scripture starts out with Jesus arriving at Capernaum. Jesus already is well known everywhere. People come from far and wide asking for miracles of healing. Jesus has healed so many by now. Not just Jews had heard about the miracles. Not just Jews believed or did not believe in Jesus. It is a reflection of Jesus as a whole on how his coming really opened up God to be known to the whole world, not just to Jews. That even this soldier, a Roman soldier, knew of and believed in all that Jesus was and did. He believed enough that he would take the chance sending word that his servant needed healing. Word that amongst the crowds that followed Jesus would have to be fairly public. For Jews to follow Jesus and believe in him was one thing, but a Roman soldier was quite another. This was even a soldier that had, before, as the scripture notes, showed support of the Jewish nation, had showed them love and helped build a synagogue. Jesus starts on his way there. And he's almost there when the centurion sends word again that he's not worthy of Jesus coming to his home. This man is in a position of power. And here he was saying how unworthy he was to even be in the presence of Jesus. That he just wanted his servant to be well. Jesus was absolutely amazed with this man's faith. He even goes so far to say that, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." This is a scripture about extreme faith. It may not seem extreme. It may not seem that amazing. It could even maybe be just seen as good faith from the outside. But it was such faith that made Jesus say what he said, that it was more faith than found anywhere in Israel. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, called it amazing faith. So it must be so. There was a few things in the story that really helped to give me an understanding of what amazing or great faith is. There's three key parts that kind of stood out to me about this soldier. The first of these was his trust in Jesus. This is the basis of faith itself. Believing and trusting in God, in Jesus, is by definition faith in Christianity. The centurion is going to Jesus, reaching out to him, sending people to plead with Jesus. The soldier had an understanding that Jesus had the power over life and death, that he could depend on Jesus. And only Jesus would have the power to save his servant. The soldier trusts to the point that he rightfully believes that Jesus does not even have to be there for it to be so. All that Jesus has to do is say so, and it is done. He never had seen the Lord in person. He never had heard a word the Lord preached. Had never seen a miracle firsthand. Yet, the basis of faith found in trust was simply that strong for him. This aspect of faith I found outlined all through Scripture. But there was one part of Scripture I felt really spoke to it. When Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection, and he needed proof of the risen Lord. After that, Jesus said to him and said to all the disciples, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." This soldier was a living example of this. He did not need to see like the disciples. He simply believed. He trusted in what he did not even see. He had faith. Now, the next part of the soldier's faith deals with how he lived out his faith. The soldier lived out the two great commandments. He obviously not only loved God, but he also loved his neighbors. He showed it in many different ways. He loved the Jews that he helped, the ones that acknowledged that love was there to Jesus. It might have been Jews, or it might have been hard for the Jews that lived under Roman oppression to admit to that. But this soldier must have really made his caring known. He loved them so much that he was responsible for building their synagogue. That he loved the Jews to the point of probably making himself an outcast to his own people. To maybe even putting his life in danger amongst Romans by showing such love. He used his power that he had to care for others. James, in the book of James, it says that faith without works is dead. The soldier lived out his faith. His faith was not dead. It was alive, and his life was how it was alive in his life, and it was how he led his life. In our own walk of faith, we could probably all do with a little improvement in our caring for others. That doesn't mean that we don't do a good job already. This church does a good job of caring for others. But it's such an essential part of our faith that we need to always try to do a little bit better. That no matter how good we seem to be doing in this area, that we can continue to find ways to be a little bit better in serving and caring for others. That maybe our faith could someday be strong enough that Jesus would be surprised. That's not a bad goal to have. To serve so faithfully that our Lord could be so happy with us that he'd feel amazed about it. The third part of the scripture that really helps define this amazing faith and ties it all together is that he was a very humble man. Now, when you first read over the scripture, it may not seem if he's humble by some of the things that he says. It says that he's a man of authority, and with soldiers under him, and when he gives an order, they listen. That when he tells the servant to act, the servant does. But that is only after he admits that he is not worthy to even have the Lord come to his house. it outlines the contrast in how this soldier that is a leader of soldiers, a man of great power that can snap his fingers and get things done, would not be worthy to have his home graced with Jesus' presence. That despite how important the soldier was, Jesus was so many worlds more important. He even did not come himself because he did not even see himself as worthy to do so. The centurion was a man that obviously cared for Jesus and believed in him. There's no doubt in my mind that he would have loved to meet Jesus face to face, that delivering the first pleading for his servant in person would have been a great honor. That coming from his house to meet Jesus on the way would have been too amazing an experience for him for words. That having Jesus actually come to his home would have been one of the most amazing experiences of his life. That he would have traded anything for that honor. Now, instead of embracing these desires, he shows he cares more about his servant than about an amazing personal experience. He honors his servant above himself, sending the servants out to meet with Jesus, sending the Jews out to meet Jesus, an honor that he would have wanted for himself. He gave that to those. He gave it to those that other centurions might have considered beneath them. For him, he lives out that notion that the first is last and the last is first. This extreme humbleness shows how deep his faith in Christ really goes. That one so high could be so humble just makes it that much more powerful what he did. I believe these three parts in the verses that we read today are part of why his faith was that amazing, why Jesus would be surprised, that trusting in the Lord, living out his faith by caring for others, and finally being so utterly humble towards Jesus that those aspects would make for a faith to marvel at. We need our faith. We all know this. We know how important it is to have faith, to believe without seeing. For those that are experiencing change in their lives, faith in Christ is just that much more important. It is the rock that can anchor us in those times of change, in those times of uncertainty, in those times where doubt can very easily rule the day. Today's the day where we celebrate our graduates. We celebrate their successes and express our joy for them. We also celebrate the future ahead of them, whatever that future may be. We trust that the Lord will guide them and protect them on their path. It's an amazing period of each of the graduates' lives. It's a time where things are going to change. New adventures are going to be had, either in the form of new jobs, new learning experiences. It marks an end, and it also marks a beginning for each of the graduates. It marks a time for some that may be leaving home for the first time. It's a time of excitement and uncertainty. Like any time of change in our lives, our faith is essential. We need faith enough to trust in the Lord, to trust that no matter what comes next, God will be there with us through it all. We need faith enough to continue showing our love for others, to even amongst the times of change, to help us to forget, or to help us not to forget how important it is to always look for ways to serve others better. We need faith enough to be humble before the Lord, to never forget to lift up all that we do to the Lord and never forget to acknowledge how truly amazing and lucky we are that Jesus loves us. So for everyone here, including myself, it's important that we never forget to grow in our faith, to always nurture our faith and strive to maybe even have more faith, to have enough faith that we can be like the centurion. That especially in those times of change or new things, that we not only remember our faith in Christ, but let it be an essential part of that time of change. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all that you've done for me, for all the guidance you've given me over the years, and for the guidance and the presence that you'll be with me in the future. I pray for you to be there in all of our lives as we go through those times of change, to be with us, always helping our faith grow, always helping us to move on, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.